Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, not as much in the New, but especially in the Old Testament, them old Hebrew names or them old Arabic names, Middle Eastern names from way back when, they're not that easy to pronounce. And I'm glad my mom and daddy loved me enough to name me Jeffrey Allen Ledbetter. Amen. And some of these folk, I don't think their parents liked them a whole lot, some of the names they give them. And so I'm going to read some of this. And Brother Bob, if I don't get it all phonetically said, don't come up and correct me after service. I'd like to see you get up here and do better than we can try to do this evening. Amen. I want to read this entire chapter, if the Lord will help us. Maybe, maybe not. But very, very interesting text. And let's look at it this evening. We'll give you the thoughts the Lord's laid on our heart. Amen. Amen. Since I'm reading it all, you can remain seated tonight. And let's see if the Lord will help us. Bible said, verse 1, it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elashar, Kedor Laomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the vale. Notice his statement, in the vale of Siddim, which is the Salt Sea. Verse 4, 12 years they served Kedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. And in the 14th year came Kedorlaomer and the kings that were with him and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnaim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emims in Sheva, Kiriathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, unto El Paran, which is by the wilderness. They returned and came to En Mishpat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. Amen. That's pretty good. Emphasizing every syllable. Praise the Lord. And there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admon, the king of Zeboam, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar, and they joined battle with them. Notice this, in the vale of Siddim, with Kedorlaomer, the king of Elam, and with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elashar, four kings with five. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountain. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. For he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and brother of Aner. These were confederate with Abram. When Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. He brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him at the, notice this, the valley of Sheva, which is the king's dale. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all, according to Hebrews 7:4. That is, Abram gave to Melchizedek a tenth of all the spoils that he had gathered from this battle. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Ashkel, and Mamre, let them take their portion. I pointed out in the reading of this text tonight that there are two valleys that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 14. The first is found in the first portion of chapter number 14, known as the Valley of Siddim. The Valley of Siddim, this place where a war and a battle breaks out. And then in the latter portion of this text, we find Abram returning from his own battle. And on his way back home, we find that he makes his way through the Valley of Sheba. And there he meets this Old Testament depiction and portrait of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the high priest of the Most High God. And so I want to join these two scenes of valleys in this text. And it's been a while. Of course, we're just really getting back to preaching anyway. But we've been preaching through the Bible, the scenes of valleys. And with the thought in mind there where the enemies of God's people in another text, I believe it's 1 Kings 20, had come against Israel there on the mountain. God gave the victory. And upon returning home, the enemy said that we're going to go back and fight against them. But this time we'll not fight them in the hills and in the mountains. We'll fight them in the valleys because their God is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. And in the end of that scene, amen, we find that God magnified himself as not only the God of the mountains, but the God of the valleys. And that's a Bible truth in your King James Bible tonight, that our God is the God of the valleys. And we've looked at several scenes, the Valley of Rephaim, the Valley of Jezreel. We looked at, and we'll look again maybe sometime down the road, the Valley of Baca. And on and on, several valleys already we've looked at. But tonight I want to preach on these two valleys, the God of the valleys. We see here in Genesis 14, the valleys of Siddim and Sheva. We understand in the context of this chapter, we would cast light upon the life of Abram. How that in chapter number 12, Abram gets out from among his kindred, having left his country, begins to walk with the Lord. And we understand through chapter number 12, it brings us along the journey of Abram. As he leaves that place, he finds himself coming through the land of the Canaanites, and that in that day, walking through that land, comes there to the place of Bethel, builds an altar. And the Lord is doing some great things in Abram's life, preparing him for this journey that he's going to be on. Abram finds himself in the land of Egypt, and there gets himself in a bit of sorts, in trouble with the world and with God, makes his way back to this place where he's made an altar. You know, in chapter number 13, which will even be relevant tonight, understanding chapter 14, that in chapter number 13, Abram and Lot began to have strife between their herdsmen, bringing them to a point of severing their ways. Lot leaves Abram, having gone to the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the Lord reveals himself and manifests himself to Abram and points out the direction that Abram is getting ready to go on, that everywhere Abram's foot steps, that God is going to give him that land and give him victories and blessings and a seed that is not only going to fill the land, but is going, again, he promises, to be a blessing and be blessed by the entire known world in days to come. And so Lot, in the end of chapter number 13, is settled down in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram has made his way there to a place called Hebron, and is dwelling in the plains of Mamre, having built another altar. Abram begins this time again of fellowshipping and talking with the Lord. And that is the background. Here we have Lot in Sodom, Abram in Hebron, where we don't know how much time passes by. Some time has gone by. And now we come to chapter number 14. We find here in this chapter, chapter number 14, according to verse number 2, that in this chapter we find the record of the first war recorded in Scripture. Interestingly enough, this war is a war between all sorts of heathen kings and nations, Brother Tim, that are battling for power and position and prestige and no doubt wealth. And just like the world is doing all the way to 2021, every nation wants to rise against the other, and alliances are made for self-promotion of the nations. And we find that taking place here in Genesis chapter number 14. It's interesting to me that this war, this first Bible war, takes place here in a valley, particularly the Valley of Siddim. And we understand that the Valley of Siddim is believed to have been a part of the region known as Sodom and Gomorrah. We believe that from this very text, and how the king of Sodom is directly coming to meet Abram in the end of Abram bringing the spoils back. Then it seems to be a part of maybe even the very place known as Sodom and Gomorrah. That will relate to you and I here in just a moment. It's from the war in this valley that we read from verse number 12 that Lot is taken. And we'll see in a moment in the previous chapter he goes there to Sodom and Gomorrah. And now he's being taken out of Sodom. But my friend, he's being taken as a captive and as a prisoner of this war between the heathen nations. As we consider tonight, the end of this chapter reveals the return of Abram from his own war with this same alliance of four kings that have been made, that have come and tried to break the back of the rebels that have rebelled against him. And Abram goes with 318 men and wins the war and takes a victory against these same five kings. But upon his return, is involved in his coming back home by the way of the Valley of Sheva. And so it's from the valley, this valley, Sheva, Abram comes, and we'll find that he testifies that the Lord in whom he serves, and the Lord that's called him out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldees, and the Lord that has brought him this far into his journey, even through his own failures and mistakes, and his own connivings, has brought him back by the way of Hebron, the same God that has been fellowshipping with him at the altar in the plains of Mamre, has given Abram the victory and won the war in his life. And I believe if we could paraphrase what Abram testifies, we'll see in the end of the message tonight that really what Abram is saying is that my Lord is the God of my life. And the same enemy had overcome the heathens and the backsliders in the Valley of Siddim. I can testify in the Valley of Sheva that he is indeed the God of the valleys. And so tonight, child of God, I want to preach to you and I this evening, to our heart and to our life, that the Lord, our Lord, is the God of our life. And that doesn't matter if you're on the mountaintop or in the valley slope. Amen. Our Lord is the God of the valleys. Amen. You can testify if you're on the mountaintop. Amen. You can testify the Lord is faithful. I received a text today from a dear preacher friend, And if I called his name, everybody here would be familiar with it. And I've been talking to him, and he knows a lot of the things I've been through in ministry, and especially over the last 3 years in my own personal life, and things I'm dealing with, and counsel that I've sought from it. And he did a blessed thing today. Amen. Early this morning, he sent me a quote. Amen. And the quote was this. The quote said, "If God fails you in your trouble today, it'd be the first time God's ever failed you." And at the end, the quote was, "Jeff Ledbetter made that statement." And I texted him back. I said, "I must have said that when I was on the mountaintop." Amen. And he texts back, and you'd have to know him, but you'd have to know it. Amen. He texts back, said, "What is a mountaintop?" Amen. And so, there are times we on the mountaintop and say, amen, God has never let us down, and God will never fail us, and God, amen, is the God of our life. Amen. And the same God will testify from the mountaintop that that is so. Amen. It's through our deepest, darkest valleys yet. Amen. It's in the midst of the warfares yet. The enemy tries to draw us into in the midst of the valleys that, amen, we can stand and we can testify as Abraham, amen, that our Lord is the God of our life. Yes, the God of the mountains, but indeed the God of the valleys. Ain't you glad for that? Amen. Consider the valleys of Sidim and Sheva. The valleys of Siddim and Sheva. Amen. Can I say in the valley of Siddim we find that it speaks of defeat. Amen. It's where Lot in his carnal state and his backslid condition. Amen. He has no power. He has no victory. And my friend, his life is brought into a time of defeat. At the valley of Sheva we find the one that has walked with God. And the one that's been communing with God stands and says in the valley of Sheva, amen, this valley speaks of victory. The valley of Siddim we find is the domain of the king of Sodom. Amen, the king of Sodom. When we think about the king of Sodom, amen, we think of a very wicked place and a very defiled place. Amen, we think of a place of a illicit and irreputable testimony. And may I say the valley of Sheva is the domain. Amen. According to the text of Scripture I read tonight in verse 18. And it is the domain of the king of Salem. Amen. The king of Sodom, my friend, is what you'll find in the valley of Sheva, a backslid state. Amen. A ruined life and a ruined testimony. But thank God the valley of Sheva is where, amen, you shake hands with the king of Salem. Amen. It's where the king of peace floods your soul. Amen. And lets you know that God's been at work in your life. And the one who is the possessor of heaven and in earth has been blessing your life all along. Somebody ought to say, man, I'm glad tonight for those times the Lord brings us. Amen. Even though it may not be a mountaintop, brings us through a valley. Amen. That we can, my friend, walk hand in hand with the king of Salem. Amen. The valley of Siddim. Amen. Is painful. Amen. You ask the Sodomites and the Gomorrahites. Amen. The other three kings who was taken. Amen. Into this valley and brought in a place of servitude. And brought into a place of taxation and brought into a place, amen, where the only way that they, amen, felt like they could have freedom, Brother Gerald, was to rebel against those other kings. And then only to find that war would be brought against them. Amen, their homes burned up. Amen, their hands put into shackles. Amen, their children carried off into captivity. Amen. All these things took place where they was reduced to simply running and fleeing for their very life. Amen. The valley of Siddim is painful. Amen. The valley of Siddim in a backslid and carnal state. Even Lot in his righteous soul, in his
his knowledge of God and relationship that, amen, he had with God by whatever means it was. Amen. Why, even the valley of Shittim was painful to old Lot on that day. And may I say, the valley for Abraham was the valley of Sheva. Amen. And the valley of Sheva is peaceful. Amen. It's a valley. It's a low place. Yet, amen, no doubt is a place that, amen, is a valley indeed. And all that valleys represent. Amen. But the valley that Abram walked through was quite different than the valley Lot experienced. Amen. Sitting was painful, but the valley of Sheba is peaceful. And can I say tonight, when you and I are in the valley in the will of God, amen, oh, there is peace that can flood our soul. Amen. I'm not saying it won't be dark. I'm not saying, amen, we won't be tempted to be anxious, said, have some worry and fear along the way. But in the midst of all that valley may reveal to you and I, I'm glad the King lives there. I'm glad, amen, in the valley it can be peaceful. Amen, it's when we're in them valleys out of the will of God. Amen, all we'll know is pain and strife and shackles. It. Amen, we'll look at that maybe here in just a moment. And so I'm glad tonight He is the God of the valleys. And we see tonight the valley of Shittim and the valley of Sheba. Y'all shout, now catch my breath for a minute. Amen. Amen. I want to show you three truths in this text about, amen, just in context in the valley of Shittim and the valley of Sheba, that I believe when we come to the end of the text, we'll find indeed, amen, He is God of the valleys. Amen. Consider with me in verses 1 through 12 for just a moment, where I wrote it down this way. I see the calamity that is in this text in verses 1 through 12, particularly here with, I want to consider the plight of carnal Lot and all that Lot found in the valley of Shittim. You see tonight there is the valley of Shittim. We consider in verses 1 through 12, amen, that there is a calamity that is here. Lot got caught up in the midst of this first war that the Bible records. Amen, I believe this evening in this calamity, there's three things I want to point out concerning the valley of Shittim and the calamity in Lot's life that is here. I see, number one, the choice of Lot. As we consider this battle and this war that is going on between these four kings versus the five kings, we find here that Lot, a man that has made a choice to involve his life here with the king of Sodom, thus bringing him to the valley of Shittim. Amen. How different this text would read had Lot not made the choice that Lot made in the previous text. Amen, Lot made a choice. And I may add tonight, had Lot made a very poor choice in the previous text, in the midst of the strife and in the midst of, amen, the contention that had been brought against him and godly and righteous Abram. Amen, Lot made a very carnal choice in Lot. Amen, made a choice based upon what he could see. And Lot made a choice based upon what his eyes had taken into view. In fact, amen, can I say that Lot is in this predicament that he finds himself in this text in Genesis 14 because of a choice that he made. Amen, and may I say tonight that every time we've a choice to make, amen, we, my friend, either, amen, bring ourselves to the valley of Shittim or the valley of Sheba. Amen, we'll either experience the pain of that choice or the peace of that choice. Amen, Lord, we find the choice that Lord has made. Amen, that has brought him to this calamity. Can I show you something the Lord showed me in this text that really blew my mind? And it's very important, Amen. Well, I think that we take this in concerning the choice that Lot made and the choices that you and I make as we try to make our way through this Christian life. If you will, go back to chapter number 13, Brother Mike, and look with me in verse number 10. Abram has conceded to this young man, and he said, I'm going to let you pick. Amen. Whatever way you go, I'll go the other direction. And the elder has submitted himself to the younger. And so Lot says, the Bible said of Lot in verse number 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld what? Amen. What did his eyes tell him was in Sodom's direction? He said he beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was what? Well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram said, Lot, the choice is yours. And so Lot gazes, and he looks in every direction. And as he's looking in every direction, Brother Larry, when his eyes fell towards Sodom and Gomorrah, from the vantage point Lot had there, his eyes said, and it is well watered everywhere. He thought from his vantage point, and it was well watered everywhere in that land. But when we come to chapter number 14, amen, what does the Bible say is all around in the valley of Siddim? The Bible said, did y'all catch it there? Look with me. Amen, I think it's in verse number 10. And the veil, that being the valley of Siddim, was full of what? It was full of slime pits. Amen, may I say that Lot made a very fleshly decision. And his eyes and his flesh and his carnal mind told him that. And from that vantage point, it deceived him into believing that everywhere in that direction was well watered. Buddy, when he made that choice, and my friend began to set his mind and his heart and his life and his family in that direction, he found that it was not well watered all over. But in fact, my friend, in Sodom and Gomorrah, amen, the best you can expect is a bunch of slime pits. Amen, a bunch of sticky places. Amen, a bunch of places that will bog you down and are not conducive to fighting the enemy. My friend, all of this is taken in by Lot's simple choice that he made in his fleshly man. Is everybody listening tonight? I'm talking about the God of the valleys, Lot rather. Amen, the calamity is seen in the choice that he made. He did not count God in his life. He gave no consideration. He never bowed his head to pray. He lifted up his eyes, having my friend looked upon, amen, the land and what it could offer him. Amen, but ain't it like the devil and the fleshly man and the world, amen, to show you one side of what they have to offer. Amen, nowhere from that vantage point in Genesis 13. Amen, did Lot ever take in the slime pits? Amen, he never seen the valley of Siddim. He never seen the calamity that was to come. Amen, he only seen the one side of the billboard. Amen, that said, come on, we're well watered. Amen, we got all you need to offer. We have all and offer all that you need to raise your cattle and to prosper. That ain't it like sin when you get in the midst of it. And you're walking in the carnal man, you find yourself in a valley that mires your life. And my friend brings a calamity into your life. Amen. The choice and the calamity that Lot made. Amen. Listen, I believe if he would have paused for a moment. Amen. If he would have really searched the matter out. Amen. He'd have learned about some slime pits. had learned about what was down in the land. Had, amen, maybe had he asked somebody that knew some more than he knew. And maybe, my friend, had he prayed on it a moment, that God would have said, Lot, you don't need to go that direction. Amen, it ain't just sodomites and perversion down there. There's battles down there. You'll never win the victory yet. And yet Lot made a choice and led, amen, to the valley of Sodom being a calamity in his life. See, folk, in these days, in this generation, and my friend, are headed toward calamity because they make choices based upon what they can only see with their human eye. They only perceive things from a fleshly standpoint. Amen, but what looks like a well-watered plain when you make that decision, amen, when you get in the midst of it, you'll find slime pits of sin. And my friend, calamity, the choice, notice the crossfire. Amen, we understand according to the New Testament that Lot had a righteous soul. Amen, that don't mean that he was walking in righteousness. It just means that somewhere in all that Lot was, he did know God. He had embraced the revelation of God, and let Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day as he lived in and dwelt among and governed his life with those in Sodom and Gomorrah. And at the end of the day in Genesis chapter number 14, and I say that Lot is a man out of place. He is, so to speak, a child of God. Amen. He's not a Sodomite. He's not a Gomorrah. Amen. He doesn't belong on either side. Amen. But what I wrote down here, he is a man that, again, because in the choice that he makes, finds himself in a crossfire in the valley of Siddah. Amen. And in this crossfire, he gets caught up in this battle. Amen. That results in this, amen, this time of Lot's life that, amen, is a time of calamity. We see the choice in the crossfire. I see the captivity. I gotta hurry. Amen. They took Lot, verse 12, Abram's brother's son who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. And so, Brother A.L., here's a man that in the calamity of the valley of Sodom, he finds himself enslaved to the enemy. And can I say tonight, child of God, amen, you can choose whatever road you want to go on. Amen, but you hear the preacher man well tonight. Amen, you go in the valley of Sodom, you choose to go your own way. Amen, you choose to ignore the righteous and godly influences around you. Amen, friend, it will result in you being enslaved. Amen, and we're living in a generation think they know better and think it doesn't matter what they choose and what direction their life goes in. Amen, and it may not look that bad from the vantage point that you're in tonight. Amen, you young folk, listen tonight. Amen, I'm telling you, I know a little something ain't as old as some and don't know as much as some, but amen, one thing I've learned that, amen, if you're a child of God, you won't get by with sin. Amen, there'll be the day that the heathen rage. Amen, you may get along for a little while. Amen, but ain't it amazing in the midst of this battle? Amen, when the heathen began to rage and these first four kings that are mentioned began to overcome the five that Lot seemed to be most associated with. Amen, that his king fled and the Sodomites and the Gomorites fled and left Lot. Amen, to fend for himself. Are you listening? Amen, and that's exactly what you can expect out of the world and a carnal crown that, amen, when you get in a valley and you're in a valley out of the will of God, that, amen, they'll use you for what they can get out of you. Amen, they'll take your goods and they'll be associated with you for a while, but, amen, when the world's done, they'll leave you ensnared. Amen, to greater enemies than they are. And Lot found himself in the valley of Sodom in a calamity. The calamity, the choice, the crossfire, and the captivity. Amen. Consider number two with me tonight quickly. Amen. Lord, I got to hurry. Amen. The calamity, but notice the recovery. In verses 13 through 16, I won't take long here, amen, but may I say in this text verse that though Lot had got himself in a mess, God's grace was, God's grace was sending Abram his way. God's grace is going to send Lot some help. And that help's going to come back. Amen. Oh, faithful Abram. Amen. Abram, the man who's been walking with God. And Abram, the man who's been fellowshipping with the Lord. And Abram, the man that, amen, it looked like got the short end of the stick in the previous chapter. Amen, is going to run through the valley of Shittim and chase down the enemy. And God is going to let Lot be recovered. And God's grace is going to stand, amen, through Abram's life for unfaithful Lot. I see in the recovery, I see the report that was made to Abram in verse number 13. And there came one. Amen. Underline and mark that word one. And there came one that had escaped. Amen. We don't know how many was taken. Amen. I suppose it was a rather large, large crowd. Brother Mike, there was only one that had escaped. Amen. You see, the devil's going to make you think tonight, amen, that the calamity won't be that bad. It doesn't matter the choice you make and the crossfire you end up in and the captivity experience in your life. Amen. You'll get out of it when you want to. Amen. He'll let you see one here and there that maybe has recovered along the way. And you'll think, well, I'll get out of it whenever I want. Amen. But can I say that's the exception and not the rule? Amen. There was only one that escaped. Amen. And I don't know how he done it. I'm sure it was by the grace of God too. Amen. But there was one. And so a report was made. Amen. A report was made by one who had been taken captive by the enemy at the enemy's will. Amen. The report to Abram, the residence of Abram. I don't know how this one knew where Abram was. Amen. But he told Abram the Hebrew. Amen. The Bible said, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre the Amorite. Amen. I know the residence of Abram. Amen. This recovery, not only the report, but the residence of it. Amen. Abram is still in Hebron. Hebron speaks of fellowship. Amen. It speaks of fellowship. Amen. Hebron in the plains of Mamre. Mamre means fatness and speaks of the blessings of God. Amen. Notice with me in verse 24. And he's not there alone, but he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. Amen. Abram, listen where his residence is. It speaks in the friendships Abram has made in this place. Amen. He's got fellowship. He's got fatness. Amen. The blessings of God are on his life. And he's got the right kind of friendships. You say, how do you know that? And cause when Abram needed to go against the enemy, amen, these that have been confederate with Abram have joined him in his battle. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, you and I spiritually ought to reside and dwell, amen, in fellowship with God, enjoy his fatness and blessed, amen, and make right friendships, cause there's coming a day, amen, you're gonna go through a valley. Amen. You're going to have some battles to fight. There's going to be some things that need recovered in your life. Amen. And I thank God for godly friends and influences and confederacies that, amen, that help me make it through the valley. Amen. The report and the residence, I see the rallying by Abram. Amen. He gets the report and they tell him Lot has been taken. Amen. Had this been the average Baptist, amen, of our day, had Abram been a 2021 Baptist, amen, I can see him say how that serves a lot right. Amen. After all, he strove with me and my herdsmen. And after all, I tried to be the bigger man and let him make the first choice. And he took advantage. and serves old backslider Ray. Amen. But that ain't what Abram did. Amen. Somewhere in Abram's heart there was a spirit. Amen. Of forgiveness. A spirit of compassion. A spirit of maturity. Amen. That said, oh, Lot's got himself in trouble. And listen, Abram never went down there and tried to bail him out of Sodom. And he never went down there so long as Lot, amen, was in a state of enjoying his backslid state. Amen. But when Lot was in need, you know what Abram did? Amen. He rallied all them men that he'd been training. Amen. He said, there's a need, and old Lot needs us. And Lot, my friend, listen. Amen. The Lot needed somebody, amen, that would rally on his behalf. And here comes old Abram with his own swords and shields and staves my friend, his own men that he has trained. Amen, rallying to go. Amen, run through the valley of Sidoth and run the enemy down with the hope that God would help them recover Lot and all that had been taken. Amen. You won't do that. Amen, you won't do that without the spirit of forgiveness, and tenderness, and compassion. Amen. I see the return of Abram in this recovery in verse 16. I like this. And he brought back all. Amen. Ain't that the grace of God? Brother Tim, there was nothing lost. The enemy thought to rob Lot and thought to destroy this crowd. And I know they deserved it, and I understand Lot got everything, and really, amen, should have got more, deserved getting more than he got, having made the choices that he made. Amen, but God in His grace let Abram, amen, in this recovery bring back everything. And Abram returned, they wasn't one sheep. Amen, that had been lost. There wasn't one soul that had been left behind. Amen, the grace of God through the valley of Siddur had been manifested, Brother Joe. And when Abram returned, he came back with the spoils of war and the spoils of victory. Amen, Abram came back through the valley of Siddur and entering the valley of Sheba. Amen, Abram had not been defeated. Abram had not been overcome. And Abram had not lost anything. And God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, had allowed Abram to return, having recovered everything. I'm thankful tonight that our God is the God of the valleys. Amen, amen, amen. Can you imagine? Amen, can you imagine when Lot seen that war break out? Amen, amen, you imagine he thought, man, I wish I wouldn't have made that choice. And you imagine the crossfire, but Jerry, he's in the middle of, amen, saying, dear God, how did I get myself in this mess? And you imagine as he sees his, the king that has put himself under, amen, leave him high and dry. Amen. And these kings shackle him and his children. And my friend are carrying him away. Amen. Can you see him walking through the valley of Siddur with his head held low? And lo and behold, the grace of God shows up. Amen. And begins to recover Lot and all that had been taken. Amen. I imagine Lot thought, thank God. Amen. I may have made a mess of this, but God has blessed me. And God in His grace is helping me be recovered. I don't care how big a mess somebody makes. Amen. So long as you, amen, are joined and in alliance to sin and Sodom and the valley of Sodom and enjoying the slime pits, amen, God will never help you. Amen. But when, my friend, sin has had its way and the season of sin, the pleasure in the season of sin has run its course and you're brokenhearted, amen, and you're reaping what you sowed and you regret the choices you've made, I'm glad there's grace, there is grace, and to run your way and rescue you. Amen. And I'm telling you, the Lord can recover all that, my friend, has been taken by the enemy. Amen. We see the calamity We see the recovery. Amen. 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 I ain't got time to preach all this. It's too much here. Let me just mention the last one. Y'all didn't think I was going to get it all preached anyway. Amen. I see here, last of all, the testimony. Hallelujah. Abram's coming back. Everybody is known that Abram went to recover. They don't know how things are going. All of a sudden, the king of Sodom, he's looking around. He done been whipped like an old wet dog. Amen. He done been whipped. He done lost everything, he thinks. All of a sudden, word begins to spread. Abram's on his way back. And Abram run that crowd down. And Abram, whip the enemy that you couldn't whip. Here comes Abram. He's walking through the valley of Sheba. The Bible said the king of Sodom came out to meet him. Amen. And Abram in this text, amen, he really don't even want anything really to do with the king of Sodom. If I understand the context right, he ain't interested in what the king of Sodom has to say to him. Amen. But all of a sudden in the midst of the valley, amen, there's a king, there's another king steps in, evidently stood between Abram and the king of Sodom. Amen, the king of Salem, Melchizedek. Amen, the king priest in the Old Testament, priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek said, I want to testify. Amen, I ain't preaching this, I got 3 points. I won't preach up. Amen, but let me end right here. Melchizedek said, I just want to go on record and testify a little bit. Abram, I know you're in the valley. I know you're here in the valley of Sheba. But Abraham, what I want to tell you, amen, is that I want to bless you. That's what verse number 19 said. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. You know what Melchizedek is saying? He's saying, Abram, you run down the enemy, and you ran through the valley of Sodom and chased them down and pursued them, and now you're coming back, and here in the valley of Sheba, Abram, God wants me to testify that it's God that delivered the enemy into your hand. It is God that won the victory. It is God that brought all this to pass. Abram, it wasn't in how well you trained your men. And Abram, it wasn't in how fast you could run. And it wasn't in how strong you could fight. And Abram, it wasn't in all the possessions you had. Abram, you're coming back through the valley because God has blessed your life. And God has delivered the enemy into thy hand. A one who is the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen. Was the one that manifests himself on the battlefield and in the valley. And it's that same God that's bringing you, amen, back through the valley. Amen. A conqueror and a victor. And you owe it to God. You owe it to God for God bringing you back through the victory you're enjoying. You owe it to God. Amen. Can I say tonight, amen, can I say tonight, amen, that any time, whether the valley is of our own doings and our own choices, or we're drug into somebody else's mess, are we just in the plan and sovereignty and will of God find ourselves in a valley? Amen. Don't you ever forget, it is the Lord that blesses us and allows you and I to come out victors on the other side. Amen. And if God has blessed us so, we should bless Him so. That's what Melchizedek, and I'll get in a lot of things. If I get started, I won't stop, Sambo. Amen. So what are you saying? I think Melchizedek's saying,
to Abram what Abram says to the king of Sodom. He's the God of the valleys, Abram. Abram, don't you ever forget when you're going through the valley, God has just showed you again. He had been through valleys before. He'd been through valleys before. Amen. That place back in chapter 12, he got between Bethel and Ai. Amen. One on the east and one on the west. That means he's down there in the valley between them. And God met with him and God helped him. Now he's coming through another valley and the King of Peace shows up and says, Abram, it is God that has delivered you in the midst of this valley. Anybody here tonight can testify God has brought you through valleys. God's brought you through some war times. God's brought you through some hard times. Amen. It seems like we're living in days of valleys. Child of God and church, don't you forget it's God that's brought us through in the past. It's God going to bring us through now. And if the coming of the Lord don't happen soon, there'll be new valleys one of these days. And amen, it'll be God. It'll be God brings us through those. Amen. Jeff Ledbetter's on record years ago saying, if God fails you now, it'll be the first time. I'm telling you, God's a faithful God. I just want to say tonight, I thank God and bless His name for every valley He's ever brought me through. Amen. 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 You imagine old Lot's maybe an earshot of that. Amen. I don't believe he left Abram's side there. Now, we know he leaves later. He gets back in Sodom. What a knucklehead. Amen. After God delivered and he runs straight back to that crowd. What a knucklehead. Amen. I read that. I just want to pinch Lot. I want to get him by his head. But Jeremy's the old knucklehead. But before he ever run off back to Sodom, old Lot heard what Melchizedek said. And he heard what old Uncle Abraham said when he looked at the king of Sodom and said, I don't want nothing you got, because if I take anything from your hand, you're going to say, you bless me. He said, it ain't you that bless me. It ain't. In fact, you is running with your tail tucked between your legs. I don't want no coward getting credit for what God did in my life. Since God brought me through. Old Lot got to hear that, and I believe there's something on the inside of Lot said, that's right, I only am recovered because of what God did in the valley. God of the valleys. I'll maybe get back on that. We'll see. There's some good stuff in there, man. Good stuff. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for a good word tonight from Scripture. I sure am grateful, Lord, that you know what we need. Lord, so many days we feel like we're just walking through valleys. And Lord, we confess sometimes they're of our own making, our own choices. Lord, sometimes we're drug into other things. And then, Lord, sometimes you just choose to let us go through valleys. Lord, I'm glad no matter what valley we may be in and why we may be there, Lord, you remind us constantly, if we look to you, you are indeed the God of the valleys. And so I pray tonight we'd all bless the God who has been so faithful to bless us, and Lord, to testify and brag upon your grace and your help. We love you, Lord, tonight. Thank you for what you've done in my own heart, and Lord, anything you've done for others, I thank you for that. Give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I hope that's a help to you tonight. And a little bit of everything, I guess, in that message. But really, really want the Lord to use it, be an encouragement to us. The reminder that He is the God of the valleys. All right?